Are y'all ready to have a meeting? Y'all invited a lot of people? Are you serious about having a meeting? Do you kind of just feel like, well, it's just going to be a meeting and that's just going to be all it is to it and we're not going to change? You ever feel that way sometime about your life? But let me tell you something tonight, brethren, sisters and friends. You will never change your life until you get your head in your Bible. You'll never change. You'll never change. Sometimes we go to services, sometimes we get stirred up, sometimes we feel like we've got to get better. But you will not change unless you get your head in the Word. You got to study your Bible because you'll never live better than you know. You see, the Bible is a precious book. It's a book that when you study it, you appreciate. And when you appreciate, you love. And when you love, you serve. You cannot help but appreciate when you study your Bible. Now, reading it, sometimes you won't appreciate it like you should. But you will appreciate it when you study it. You appreciate what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you. And the Bible will change your life if you let it. Now, you can't go trying to make the Bible fit your life. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I want it to be that way. So, well, you know, this is the way I'm living. I'm going to make the Bible fit what I want to do. But it's not that way. We must conform our lives to God's Word. In the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul told Timothy here, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How many of us live with a lot of fear? Well, he's really not talking about the fear here that we fear that somebody's going to do something to us. He's talking about the fear we read about in Revelations chapter 21 and verse 8. He gives here, he talks about Judgment Day, Revelations 21 and verse 8. And he says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Turn also with me to Matthew 25. In verse 14, we've got several verses to read there. Matthew 25 and verse 14. And he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivereth unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.' He also that had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents, 2 other talents beside them.' His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.' His Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thy wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Your talent, what is it? I don't know what it is. You may have one, you may have two, you may have five, you may have ten. But are you using your talent? So many people, they're such good salespeople, but they can't and they won't try to sell the gospel to people. See, friends, the church is in what kind of business? What business is the church in?
Saving souls.
Saving souls. That's what the business we're in. We're not in the business of being comfortable. We're not in the business of being liked by everybody in the world. But saving souls. And saving souls. And when we lose that view with us today, we're on the road to failure. But what am I doing for the kingdom down here? What am I doing for heaven's sake? Am I using my talent, or am I afraid to use it? Have you ever said, well, you know, I can't go talk to them. I wouldn't know what to say. I might run them away. How are you going to run them away? They're already gone. You know, one time I went to a meeting back in probably the 70s, and this congregation had four elders. Meeting started on Sunday morning. And when the service was over that day, we were standing outside talking, and this lady was there, and she said, I used to go to church here. And she said, you know, Brother Bass, I quit, never came back. And you know who came? And two of the elders were standing there listening to this. She said, you know how many people called me or came to see me from this congregation? Nobody. You know, they kind of dropped their heads and, you know, like, I don't like that. Like they didn't want to hear that. And one by one, people leave, see. And nobody cares. Nobody calls. Nobody comes back. Nobody says we love you. Because we're afraid many times. We're afraid we may say the wrong thing. But we just don't take the time. You know. You know what I'm saying? You say, well, that's not us here. Now, preacher, let me tell you what. We take the time to go after those that leave. Because we care about their souls. We care about them being saved. Do you really? Or are you afraid to do anything? Who gives you that spirit of fear? You know, Paul told Timothy, God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. And so if I'm afraid, I have that spirit of fear from the devil. The devil wants you to be afraid. Oh yeah, he wants you to be afraid. He wants you to be afraid you'll never change. You ever be afraid of that? That's what he wants you to be afraid of too. A leopard will never change its spots. You'll never change. You'll never get rid of those sins. He wants you to feel down on yourself. And the more down he can make you feel, the more he can control your life. Sure he can. And let me tell you what, brother back home has passed on now. He was in his 90s maybe when he said this. But brother Holmes, the congregation where brother Harry goes, he said, you know, said if you let the devil get his foot in the door, pretty soon he's in there stomping all around. And that is so true. Brethren, we cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid to speak out and stand up. I know of a congregation, and me and Brother Hare talked about that just a little bit ago over in another state, way back home. And it's just so sad what's happened over there. And he knows a lot about it. And I've been over there, and for years and years I used to go there. And it's just so sad what has happened. Somebody's come there that living in adultery. They got him as a preacher, and it's just, you just can't believe it. But anyway, my daughter knows about this. She says, Daddy says, you know, when you and Mother passed on, and me and Tony are gone, what's going to happen to the church here? She said, you need to be, we need all to be so careful of who gets in that pulpit. That's right. And brother, when you get in the pulpit, you can't be afraid to proclaim the truth. You can't worry about hurting somebody's feelings or stepping on somebody's toes. You know, Jesus was very, as a speaker, what was he? You didn't have to worry about what he said when he got through telling you, because you said, I just know what he said. He didn't beat around the bush, as we say in Alabama, did he? He was very straightforward. He was very open. He was very pointed, Jesus was. You know, he called them some names. You remember what he called them? Generation of vipers. You know what a viper is? It's a snake. Oh, hypocrites. Oh, hypocrites. You read Matthew 23 sometime. He was very pointed in his preaching. He was not afraid to speak out the truth. And brethren, we can't be afraid. That's right. You can't be afraid. You cannot be afraid. You must speak the truth in love. Now, don't use a Bible for a club. But use a Bible to bring people to the Lord. He does not give us in the spirit of fear. But what does he say he gives us? Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 7. He gives us power. You know the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick meaning alive. And sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints of marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, brethren, let me tell you what tonight. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. You don't hide them from him. I remember my little, I think of my granddaughter maybe that said this years ago. I was talking about God sees everything. She says, Papa, you mean he can see right through that ceiling? I said, he can see right through that ceiling. It doesn't matter if it's dark or light. He sees and knows it all. He knows your mind. He knows your intentions. He knows what you watch when you're there by yourself on your television. See, he sees that. He hears that. And I remember one time somebody was talking about they go out and members of the church and buy these X-rated movies and put the kids to bed and they watch those things. Do you believe that? If that's not whoremongering, I don't know what whoremongering is. And you're going to spend your money for that? You got HBO, hellbound operation. You ain't got that in your home, have you? No. Isn't that sad? And some people think, well, you know, this is not bad. You will look at this, you know, in the privacy of our home, we'll do what we want to. I cannot believe people would think or say that. That is so sad. So he is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. And the word of God is quick and the word of God is powerful. And brethren, we must reuse the power of God's word because it does change people's lives. It will affect your life. It has already affected your life. You know, I think one of the most important things about if you read God's word, it, to me it is anyway, is meditation. It helps me so much to think about what I read and think about what the preacher preached on Sunday and think about what we studied about. I got to meditate on it. You do that? On your bed at night, sometimes you lie there and you meditate and you think. Meditation. The power of God's word. Let me tell you what. Your children see that power in there. Oh, yes, they do. And they just like a little old sponge, they just soak it up, say. And let me tell you what else they do. They soak up your life. And they know if you're a hypocrite. Hey, you're not fooling that kid. They know if you really love the Lord. They know if you really enjoy going to church. They know if you love the brethren. Oh, yes, they do. And they know if you study with them, if you praise God with them, if you give God credit with them. You know, we got all these things we give credit to. You know, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all this kind of stuff. Isn't that sad? That is so sad to me. I wouldn't more tell my child of Santa Claus. I mean, why would you tell it there? It's not true anyway. Give God glory. Give God praise. Give God credit. The power, he says he has given us the power, the power, the power to cope, the power to shoulder the back-breaking task, the power to stand in the face of a shattering situation. How many times have you been in life in a shattering situation? Oh, my friends, let me tell you what. Life is not easy. You remember the old Bible where it says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Remember that? He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And you say that tonight in these little ones right here. They're like a flower. They come forth as a flower. Man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. And friends, we're going to have trouble. But God gives us the power to cope with these things in life. The power to face it. The power to move on. The power to go on. The power not to give in. The Christian is one that can pass a breaking point and not break. You cannot break down. You cannot give in. You remember what Paul said about his life? I'm now ready to be off, but the time of my departure is at hand. You know what he's saying? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight, he said. Let me say this to you tonight, and listen carefully, please, to this. All your life, as long as you have you're in your right mind, it'll be a fight against Satan. That's right. He'll fight you to your death. It's going to be a fight. You got to fight him. You cannot give in to him. As long as you have your right mind, it's going to be a fight against Satan. You can just go ahead. I'm going to hurry up and tell you that right now. You just go ahead and face the truth. You got to fight him. And it's going to be a fight because he is going to try to get to you at your weakest point. There's things that may bother you that don't bother me. There's things that may bother me that don't bother you. He's going to tempt me and try to drag me down. Because let me tell you something, brethren, here tonight. If he can get you, he may get your children. He may get your wife. He may get your husband. He may get your grandparents. He may get your grandchildren. See, he's out for you. That's right. The Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Straight as the gate, S-T-R-A-I-T, which means like the Strait of Gibraltar. It means it's hard to pass. You've got to work at it. And you've got to fight him. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? I believe it's chapter 9. It's chapter 9 in verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 27. And to me, this is, how that just sums up how we should live. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Paul says, I make myself do things. I make my body do things. Sometimes it is not easy to make my body do things. But he says, I keep under my body. And I say, Paul, this is what you're going to do. Like it or not, this is the right thing to do. And you're going to do it. And brethren, we have to be the same way. We have got to keep our body in subjection. We cannot give in to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's right. And it's going to be a fight. You know, Paul even talked about it. He talked about it in that same chapter above there about running in a race. And he said in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, as not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just shadow boxing out here. I'm not just running in a circle. No, sir. I'm on the straight and narrow, and I'm fighting this good fight of faith. I am running for the Lord. Are we serious about this? Well, you know, Mom and Daddy always took me to church, man. I'd feel bad if I don't go. But is your heart in it? You ever had a job, do your heart's not in it? You know, I tell you, if I went back to Alabama next week and Sue said, we need to paint this back bedroom, I'm not going to tell you I wouldn't paint it. But I can tell you right now, my heart wouldn't be in painting. Now, I'd work in the garden, work in the flowers, work in the yard, work in my woodworking shop and other things, but I just don't like to paint. But you know, my heart's not in it. But what about church work? You heard that little joke at the time, what that man said to his mother? He said, Mama ain't going to church over there anymore. What? He said, I'm not going back. I'm through. I'm through with church over there. They don't like me over there. She said, I can't believe you saying that. He said, I'm not going back. They don't like me up there. He said, you give me two good reasons to go, Mama. She said, I'll give you two. He said, one thing, you're 40 years old. And number two, you're the preacher. You know, sometimes we just ready to give up, aren't we? We just ready to quit and walk away. We can't do that. So you can't give in. And he gives you the power. He don't give you the spirit of fear. Okay? He gives us the power to cope with whatever life holds for us. And what he said in Philippians 4, I believe it's 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Whatever it is, whatever you got to face in life, and like I said before, we're going to face some things. We got to realize that God will be with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Do people see Jesus in you? Do people see Jesus in you? You know what a man told me one time? He said, remember, congregation there where we go sold a house. I knew it. And later on, they sent the buyer of this house a check for $150. You know why they did? Because they forgot to tell him sometimes a dishwasher does not work properly. And it really impressed that person. They forgot to tell him that. And so they sent him his check to cover a service call on it to check it out. They sent him his $150. You think Jesus would do that? Oh, yes. He'd tell you. Sure he would. Do you really show Jesus to other people? You'd rather keep that $150 in your pocket, see? You'd rather go out and eat, buy you a new dress, a new suit. Is that the way we are? Paul's talking about here about his body is made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction. Five times the Jews have been beaten with 40 stripes, save one. Remember that? Remember that, what Paul said? Thrice he was beaten with rods. You remember that boy that went overseas somewhere? I don't know where it was, but they beat him with rods. You remember that? I don't know what he did, but several years ago, he was an American citizen, and over there for his punishment, they took some rods to him. That's right. How would you like to be beaten with rods? That was a Roman punishment, by the way, the rod beating. That was a Roman punishment. But right here, Paul talks about his light affliction. It's but for a moment. And then he goes on, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Power. And then he says, love. Do you love the brethren here? 1 Corinthians 13. Do you really love the brethren here? In 1 Corinthians 13 he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know what he's talking about? Doing things for show. You ever do things for show? I know how to get along with you. Sure I do. But am I just putting on a show? Am I just putting on a front? Or am I really doing this because I love? Am I doing it because I care? He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Huh? Well, how you spell kind? K-I-N-D? Are you kind? Are you really kind? How do you talk to your spouse? You know what I read the other day? The greatest gift you can give your children is to love their mother. Isn't that beautiful? The greatest gift you can give your children is to love their mother. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. You ever get puffed up? You ever get puffed up with your wife, and you know, you walk down the hall, you try not to touch. You pouty, you don't speak, you know. Old boy told me one time, said, me and my wife and my son will be sitting there on the couch, and she's mad at me. She'll say, Mark, tell your daddy so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm hearing that word she's saying, of course, because she's not speaking to me. He's one of my best friends. He said, she'll be that way about a week. She'll get over it. Hey, get over it. Get over your life. Charity doesn't do that. It's not puffed up. Charity thinketh no evil. It's not easy to provoke. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. What does God give you? The ability to love. Do you use that ability to love? He doesn't give you the spirit of fear. He gives you power. He gives you love. He gives you the ability to love. Let me say this to you. Working together in the church here now, I don't know anything about how y'all work together. But let me warn you. What it said in Galatians chapter 5:15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Don't be taking bites out of each other, see. Don't be taking bites out of each other. He says you may be consumed, you may destroy each other. And you don't want to do that. Work together with love and care and understanding. God gives you that spirit. Use that spirit. Don't hide it. Don't push it aside. Satan wants you to bite and devour. He wants you to nitpick and bother each other. That's right. That's what he wants with you. So he can destroy you. And then he says, a sound mind. What is a sound mind? Self-discipline. Self-control. In Philippians, chapter 1, in verse 9. Philippians 1 and verse 9. Paul said here, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay. What's he talking about here? Is that we grow in knowledge. Because when we have knowledge, we do what? We make good decisions. Okay? Your child going to school, and you want your child to make good decisions, don't you? You want them to grow in knowledge, and you want them to make good decisions. That's what Paul's talking about here. That we grow in knowledge, and we grow in our decision making and in judgment. And then he says in verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. Okay, now friends, you don't want to approve things that are wrong, do you? You don't want that to meet your approval, do you? You want to approve things that are excellent, that are right. And that's what Paul is saying here. You grow in knowledge, you grow in good judgment, and you approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Now friends, if we use our good senses, if we use our good sound mind, okay, we will approve things that are excellent because we have studied and learned. See how beautiful the Bible is? Absolutely just perfect. There's nothing we can do to improve on God's Word. And as we learn His Word, we approve things that are excellent. We make good judgments. And we use our good senses. You know the story about the prodigal son? Remember what it said? When he came to himself. Remember that? It's like he's out of his mind, wasn't he? It was. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants did my father have bread to eat and to spare? And I'm perishing. I'm dying from hunger. You ever come to yourself sometime and ask yourself, what road is my life on? Where am I going with my life? And you see where you're going and you're going the wrong way? Well, come to yourself and use your good senses. Use your sound mind. Use your good judgment. You can turn your life around. But friends, I can't do a thing with you. And you know what else? You can't do a thing with me. The only person I got control over, I can't do a thing with Sue. She can't do a thing with me. The only person I've got control over is myself. That's right. And she's got control over herself. And you've got control over yourself. And someday you will give an account for yourself, for what you've done in this life. And you've got to use your good judgment. You've got to use your sound mind. Money problems, marriage problems, ethical problems, religious problems, school problems, and even many times health problems are brought on by bad decisions. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible. I'm fixing to close. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, and my mama, I guess a good word is hammered, hammered scripture into my head. And this is one that she really hammered on. Especially as I got up 15, 16. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Wilbur, if it appears to be evil, you stay away from it. Abstain from it. And you know what he's saying here? Use your good judgment. Use your good sense. Do what you know you need to do. I ain't got to have somebody standing over me to tell me what is right, to tell me what is wrong, do I? So many things, I know what is right. I know what I should do. And I've got to have the courage, and I can't be afraid. I've got to have the courage to do what is right. And that's what he's saying in 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's go back to it. And I'm fixing to close. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Now we read over in Revelations what he said about the fearful. We read about the talent was not used. They were afraid. God doesn't give you that spirit of fear. You cannot be afraid. He gives you the spirit of power. He gives you the spirit of love. He gives you the spirit of a sound mind. And we've got to use this power. We've got to do it in love. And we've got to use our good senses. Make good decisions. And we can do it. May God help us that we always do. Read your Bible. Study your Bibles. It will change your life. As we stand tonight and sing an invitational song, if you're not a member of the church, you can come tonight to be baptized. Believing on Jesus Christ, confessing his belief, confessing publicly, you believe that he is God's son. Repent of your sins. Tonight you can be baptized, you can be born again. If you are a member of the church, you have not lived as you should, please come back tonight. Please come back and confess your faults. Repent of those faults. And we'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. We can assist you in either way. Won't you come to the front as we stand and as we sing?